like to learn together a very famous Medrash in Yalkut Shimoni that relates specifically to Hanukkah, to try to understand this Yalkut Shimoni, this Medrash, and through this Medrash to be able to gain perhaps a deeper insight into what our Avodah is, into what our focus should be as we celebrate Hanukkah. So the Medrash says, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Bekafe Bekitzlev Nigmar Melechen HaMishkan Va'asa Mekupal Adachai B'Nisan. Originally in the desert, when the Jewish people assembled and really made the entire Mishkan, it was ready by Kafe Kislev. Kafe Kislev, right, the command to build it was the day after Yom Kippur, Yud Aleph Tishrei, and the Jewish people worked so quickly, Kafe Kislev, we could have had it up and running. But Hashem said no, fold it all up and have it ready for the first of Nisan. Kmo shekatuv, b'yom ha'chodesh ha'rishon, b'echa l'chodesh, takim et ha'mishkan, and mishkan, this is the command on the first day of the first month of Nisan. V'ayu Yisrael m'amalim m'moshe lomar lama lo hukam yad. They were worried, why isn't it established immediately? Shem adofi rabo, maybe there's a problem in it that you can't put it up. V'kadosh Baruch Hu chishev la'arev simchat ha'mishkan b'chodesh shenu lo b'yitzchak. Kadosh Baruch Hu had a different agenda. He wanted the Mishkan to be established on Nisan because that was the month that Yitzchak Avinu was born. Umata, you see, Kislev shenigmarabo amalacha, but poor Kislev, it lost out because here the Mishkan could have been, this could have been the Chanukah HaMishkan, right, with the Messim bringing the Korbanos. It was a time of Simcha, a tremendous time of joy, of consecration. Poor Kislev lost out on this. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu alay l'shalem. Hashem says, you know what? I owe them one. Mashilem. Mashilem Kadosh Baruch Hu chadukas beit chashmonai. Hashem says, you know what? Kislev, I owe you one. You know what? I'm going to make it up to you. I'm going to make it up to you. There's going to be another type of Chanukah, another type of dedication. And that's the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash in the time of the chashmonai. So the divrei hamedrash tarich biur. Lama shlema kodesh baruch hu l'chodesh kislev v'chanukah peir chashmonoi. Ubamen nityachei chanukah peir chashmonoi l'ashlim l'chodesh kislev v'chanukah ha'mishkan shenok kacham itam. What is it about the chanukah of the chashmonoim that is going to be in place of, in lieu of, the original dedication? Like, what's the connection between the two? And as the Sichat Eliyahu says, if you want to give a pitsui, you want to make them feel better, so v'nei yesh lishoma, do it dafka chanukah zu. Why is it, this is the pitsui? Why is this the way to make it feel better? One would not have thought that having the dedication of the first face of Mikdash, the time of Shlomo HaMelech, that would be more appropriate. Here, poor Kislev was ready for this grand celebration, and it was left empty. So it's very nice that you're going to have the celebration of the time of the Second Temple by the Chashmonaim, but at least let one of the dedications of Beis HaMikdash, that should have been in place. Ubechal tzarich lavi ma'akeshem en chanukah pechashmonai l'chanukah ha'mishkan. What is the connection between the two? Just the fact that it was on the same day, Kafei Kislev, it was finished Kafei Kislev, this Hanukkah story happened, is in place of the other. Obviously, there must be a deeper connection between the two, and we need to understand this, as well as we need to understand what does Yitzchak Avinu have to do with this whole picture. So I'd like to try to look at this idea on three levels, and rededication revealed, to be able to understand, again, what was the Hanukkah story about, what was the Mishkan about, what was the Hanukkah story about, and again, the message of Mirtz Hashem for our lives. So let's begin level number one, which we have seen many years ago, and we'll see it with a little bit different focus. Now, two and three are going to be new levels, Mirtz Hashem. So Sifte Chaim Refriedlander points out, Kamur malato shel Yitzchak haitait gabrut al atzmo. What was the greatness of Yitzchak Avinu that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to wait until Nisan? It was the batlut el Hashem Yitzbarach b'shleimus. Yitzchak Avinu had the ability to give of himself completely. He wasn't a small child at the Akedah, right? Some people say he was 37 years old. He was ready to give himself to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Piyamur and Avincha, Kamara Mishkam, Roshkors Nisa, Mipnei, Shivachodesh, then Nulad Yitzchak. A not in Yan Simli, Shok Shirat, Merab, and Mora, Elegish Kesher Pnimi. There is a deep connection between the two. Yitzchak Avinu reached this high level of giving himself, what we say, Mesiris Nefesh Bapoa. He was ready to dedicate himself completely to Hashem. He was Heishrish V'natazo B'Klaisol, this idea of dedication completely to Hashem. He imbued within Kla Yisrael. Et HaKorach Shibatlur El Hashem Yitbarach B'Shleimut Yarashdum Yitzchak. And that, my friends, it's really what the Beis HaMikdash is about, what the Mishkan is about. The Mishkan is a place where one dedicates oneself to Hashem. What is a korban? A korban means karov, to come close, to be able to give of oneself in one's close relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. If that's the case, we have to ask just perhaps a side question, which is fascinating, which is, well, why specifically in the month that Yitzchak Avinu was born? After all, Yitzchak Avinu, who reached this great level of Yitbadlut, of giving himself over, Yitmatzrut to Hashem, happened many years later. When did the Akedah actually happen? Some people say the Akedah happened on Yom Kippur. It didn't even happen in Nisan. So would it not make more sense to have it on the day, on the month, when the Akedah happened? Why are we focusing in on the month that Yitzchak Avinu was born? So he answers, and listen to this, because this is very relevant for all of our lives. Hatshuvah and the arrow. L'chol echad v'echad noten HaKadosh Baruch Hu merosh tafkid b'hashlamat habria. All of us have a certain mission that we have, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyochol is designed for us, each and every one of us, before we are born. Chelek u'malam yuchedim yu'edet lo. Something specific for each one of us. V'kvar b'zman leidat ha'adam, and already at the beginning, at the formation, when a person is born, me'ir u'mitchazek or ha'malah ruchani hazo, when a child is born, comes a light, comes an energy that is really the distillment of this child's mission within this world. V'umetzayel la'adam l'shlim ha'tafkido, and this one enables a child to be able to develop into who they can be. Obviously, you have a free choice to use it or not. Are you going to tap into that original light? And no, and this light continues to shine every year at the birthday of the tzaddik. Afilu lacharmato, even after they die. Hence, the idea of Haman picking the lottery in the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. Now, realize this is the month Moshe Rabbeinu was born. What's the big deal? He died. You're misunderstanding that birth, even after a tzaddik dies, imbues in this month a certain koach. Ube'et hazo yeshiyata d'shmai l'doro l'zchot l'chazek l'italo b'may l'zu. And this is fascinating for our lives on many levels. The birthday of a tzaddik is a day for all generations to tap into the koach of that tzaddik, whether they're here or not. Therefore, the koach of Yitzchak Avinu is the koach of giving himself completely to Hashem. That power is found every year in the month of Nisan. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to link the two together. It's also fascinating because really this light, this energy, however you want to describe it, is really found by every person's birthday. That a birthday is a time of tshuva, it's a time of introspection, it's a time to be able to refocus, realign oneself with one's tafkid, with one's mission in this world. And there is an energy on that day that a person's born to enable a person to reorient themselves. And that's the koach of using the birthday in the correct way. Okay. Let's get back into the Mishkan, as fascinating as this segue was. Kamur Chanukah Mishkan Hatzrichah Liot Dafka B'Chodesh Nisan, in the month that Yitzchak Avinu was born, because that month has the koach, has the power of giving oneself completely to Hashem, which is what the Mishkan was about. If so, continues the Siftei Chaim at source number 4. So do us all a favor. Tell Klal Yisrael, you know what? there is a command to build a Mishkan. And Truma, Tetava, Kitisa, Vayakob, Akude, all those parashiyos with all the dimensions and all the gold and everything. Tell them everything. And tell them, you know what, you have plenty of time. And we're giving you the command on Yud Aleph Kislev, on Yud Aleph Tishrei, and you have until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So, you know, plan out your schedule appropriately, right, for schedule planners, and have it ready by then. So why don't you do that? And here's the key. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to do that. Why? Because a core component of building the Mishkan is the Midah of Zrizos, the Midah of Alacrity. Because by having alacrity, alacrity is about, the quality of Zrizos is about His Gabrus al Teva Hadam Vipadlut El Hashem Yisbaruch, the end of 4b. What is alacrity? It means going beyond your nature. Our nature, we come from the afar, we come from the ground, is to be lazy. You don't believe me? Look at any teenager, or adult for that matter, on a Sunday morning when they have nothing to do. And there's no, you know, pressure to get up at a certain time. You laze around, you dwaddle, you have plenty of time, right? There's very few people, there are, but very few people are like, you know, Sunday morning, 6 a.m., we're raring to go. What are you doing today? Doesn't matter. I'm raring to go. Just to go. Oh, I have time. I'll get to it. And this is true. Forget Sundays in life. People have things to do. Anyone know a to-do list? Beep. Right? I'll get to it. Emails, I'll get to it. I don't know when, but I'll get to it. And this is the nature of a person. When a person pushes themselves and says, you know what, I'm going to answer this right now, even though it's a long email, it's going to take me a time, I don't have to think about it, and I really don't have the time or patience, but I'm going to go above and beyond my nature to do this and fill in the blank, whatever this is, that is giving oneself over to Ribbono Shel Olam. By going against your nature and doing what is appropriate to do, right? Getting up to daven before Zman. Whatever it is, for women as well, there's an inyan of Zman HaTfilah, of times to daven. By being careful about these things, when one goes above and beyond, that is giving oneself to Hashem, and it's fascinating. In Source 5, the Masilas Yesharim describes Tarishis Gaber Atzmo Negativo. That's well, a person has to go against their nature, v'yisgaber, v'yisdareis, and to be quick. And the, according to, Rabbi Rucham explains, according to the Masilas Yesharim, that Shinui HaTeva Izaneis is a miracle. And yes, says Rabbi Rucham, that's what demanded of us. It's demanded of us to go against our nature. So now, my friends, I understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted embedded in the Mishkan this Midah of giving of oneself. They embedded it, the craftsmen, by going against their nature of taking their time and dawdling and doing it quickly. That was imbued into the Mishkan in order for that to be able to be linked with this hitbatlut, this giving of oneself, of Yitzchak Avinu, and that becomes the whole core, the whole nature of what the Mishkan is about. So if this is what the Mishkan is about, of giving oneself above and beyond, pushing oneself above and beyond, not just taking the easy way out, we can appreciate how this fits into Chanukah. Very famous Bach, very, very often quoted, that the Kohanim were lax in their performance of the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. Measure for measure, the Greeks issued an edict that forbade the Avodah, offering sacrifice and lighting menorah. Moreover, they defiled all the oil that was to be used for the menorah. Only after the Cheshbonaim showed that they're willing to sacrifice their lives for the sake of reclaiming the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, did they merit heavenly assistance in that area, and they were able, Rabbi Me'atim, they were able, few in the hands, many in the hands of the few, they were able to go out and to defeat the enemy. What was the quality that the Cheshbonaim had? The Bach is telling us it's the quality of going against their nature. There was a certain weakening in the Avodah, a certain lax in the Avodah, in the service. So therefore, Hashem says, you know, you're not really appreciating the service, so you don't need the service. when the Hasmonaim went against their nature, and they went and fought, and it was like a crazy fight, right? And then they went out with that capital, Vihinoam, Tzadik Aleph 91, which we say by the candle lighting. They went out with that Emuna B'tochem Hashem. They went really against their nature to be able to give of themselves completely. With Siris Nefesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you were successful, and Hashem benched them, not only with winning the war, but the miracle of the menorah, of the oil. So now we see the whole picture. Yitzchak Avinu represents giving of oneself. The Mishkan itself was predicated on the people giving of themselves, going about beyond their nature. When it came time for the Chanukah of the time in the Beis HaMikdash, in the time of the Chashmonaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the perfect way to celebrate the rededication, because what we find here is that very quality that was found in the original Mishkan. He was waiting, so to speak, for that quality to surface again, and therefore to make a holiday, to celebrate, to have this rededication ceremony really based on this Mesiras Nefesh. And that says the Sifti Chaim, Bevadai Eim Mekablim Et HaMa'ala Mivli Yegiyah. You can't reach this without work. Know that this ability of giving oneself, of pushing oneself, is found in an inactive state in us at all times. However, on Kafei Kislev, which was the time when the original Mishkan was finished, which was the culmination of the zrizus, the alacrity of the Jewish people at that time, was the culmination of the Mesiras Nefesh, of the giving of themselves above and beyond of the Chashmonaim, or Beruba said, Mailat Hazrizus Shushka Bebinyan HaMishkan V'Shishi Ahaya V'Siya B'Kafei Kislev. The Chashmonaim almost tapped into the energy. Again, just like there's an energy in the month a person of Tzadik is born, there's an energy in Kafei Kislev. That energy is giving of oneself completely, as was the culmination of building on the Mishkan. They were to tap into it and to be able to reach this incredible height. That energy that the people build the Mishkan put into this day helped the Chashmonaim a thousand years later, to be able to do what they did. How is this relevant for us? Here goes 10. Otama kochot ruchaniim shimam palu Chashmonaim b'yimim. That energy that the Chashmonaim tapped into in those days, v'risho otam l'dorot habayim, yuchli manu lotziam l'po b'mei Chanukah b'zman hazeh. We're able to tap into those energies in our times. Our job is to start to daven for Siyata Deshmaya, and you have no idea where you can come to. And this is not just talking about Klal Yisrael, the entire people. El kol yochid mitchazeh b'avodat Hashem misgaber al tivo u'mizdareiz mekabel siyu v'ezer Hashem l'gaber kol k'shayim. Chanukah is almost like a trampoline effect. Something that you should be working on. You know, it's a midah, you say, I'm going to get to it. It's a project, you've said, I'm going to get to it. You know, it's endless. Something you say, you know, I really should, but Chanukah is the time of the Chanukah, of the rededication of ourselves. What's built in Chanukah is that energy of going above and beyond the lethargic part of ourselves and being able to dedicate ourselves to Ritzon Hashem, to the will of God, to a project to serve Hashem, bring Nachat Ruach to Hashem. And that, this time, right, Chasanissimo of Singer by Mima Hembas Manasad, Hashem who did miracles at that time as well as now, know that we will meet with tremendous amount of success. As two great lines of Rav Loba in source number 11, at least once over the course of Chanukah, when we want to sit back and relax, because it is Chanukah, we should instead stand up and accomplish, because it is Chanukah. The second is, it is the person who, in honor of Chanukah, learns with vigor during a set time for Torah study, or davens a tefillah with extra concentration, who has lit the true flame of Chanukah. It could be doing something that we've put off or doing what we do, but do it with mesiras nefesh. I daven anyway. I remember once somebody telling me that they once sat and davened the entire davening, every single word that was audible to them. And they said to me, it took them a very long time. And they said davening was an amazing davening. There's so much beauty here. There's so much amazing things here. We don't put into it. We don't invest. Mesiras nefesh doesn't mean to die al kiddush Hashem necessarily. Mesiras nefesh means to take my rutzel, to take my desire with full force to turn it over to Hashem. And do what we're doing. But do it. We have to be in there. And this is the point that Rav Biederman brings from the Shemi Shmuel. He says, you know, you take a look at history, you don't really see, when the Bach talks about that they were weakened in their service of God, really, what's the Bach talking about? Because every day the Korban was brought, they did the service. So what exactly is this weakness about? So explains the Bach the following, L'fichach meisik de kavanat habachi, the asterisk in 12. Sheyevanim hechshichu einem sheyisrael b'gzeirasa. Vechnisu belibos b'nei Yisrael choshech v'hester beruchnias. What we're talking about is not through action necessarily, but through mindset. They blinded the Jews. That they did it, but they did it with a certain amount of lethargic energy. They did it with kriros ruach, with a cold spirit. Lachain hagam shikrivat hakavan apopola yusim kepi jeshnur ukemitzvos anashim elumata. They did it habitually, without the passion, without the pnimius halev. That's the weakness that we're talking about. So my friends, when we understand this, we can appreciate idea number one. What is the connection between the three? Yitzchak Avinu represents giving of oneself completely to Hashem. The people who built the Mishkan were about Zrizos, they gave it their all, they weren't lazy. The Chashmonaim went against their nature to be able to serve Hashem with passion and enthusiasm and go out and fight for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They all have this ability of Mesiras Nefesh of giving themselves, and hence the Chanukah of the Chashmonaim comes as almost like a mirror of that experience in the Mishkan. What is the upshot for our lives on level number one? Chanukah is a time where we need to tap into that energy. There's an energy to do what we're doing, but do it with passion and enthusiasm and vigor. And or that which we say we will get to, you know, at some time I'll get to this. This is what we have to do. You have a project you wanted to get to and just never happened. This is the time to do it. This is the time, right? You want to start learning a sefer. With sefer, what should I learn? Pick a sefer and start it on Chanukah. There is that, again, that trampoline effect of being able to push oneself and be able to, you want to learn two halachos a day of Lashon Hara. I'll get to it. Sometime I'll start. Chanukah, great time to start. That's idea number one. Great. Now let's take a look at the second level, which will be the most complex of the three. Very interesting. This is Yimei Chanukah. Rav David Cohen quotes this idea. Very interesting idea of the Gra in Parsha Kitisa. The Gra explains, "V'zeh tefilo shasta kol arim yom ha'elu lavshi shchinato b'tochenu k'rishonim shamar lo ma'aseh mishka mishvil v'shachanti b'tocham v'yisido." The Gra says that Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's a big machloket, is a Mishkan, just a reaction to Chedaga, or no, this is what Hashem wanted. The Gra said, no, this is what Hashem wanted. Right, Parsha Truma, to Sever, even before the Chedaga. Hashem wanted a place where he was going to have his Shechina, his divine presence, come down. When they sinned in the sin of the golden calf and the chedekel, they lost that connection to Ribbono Shel Olam. And what was the tefillos that Moshe Rabbeinu had over and over again? Hashem, please come back. Please bring your Shechinah down, build a Mishkan, allow us to build a Mishkan to have you here. So he Amuvuar 15 Bidvarav De Tzivui Shel Asubi Mikdash Shechanti Batocha. This idea of Hashem coming down and dwelling with us was before Chet Egel. They lost this state by the Chet HaEgel, and that was the Tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is, again, where you find it in Parashat Rashi says in the asterisk of why is it called Mishkan HaEdos, the Mishkan of Testimony, Eidos L'Yisrael, Shevit Yalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'aseh HaEgel. It's a testimony that Hashem forgave them for the sin of the golden calf, that He's bringing Yeshchina down here. Likewise, you have Rashi in Parashat Shemini, all 7 days of the Miluim, where Moshe Rabbeinu was building and taking it down, the Shechina was not there, and they were worried. And they said, we did all of this, and the Shechina, Divine Presence, isn't coming down. It must be because we've sinned in the sin of Chet HaEgel. So you see here so clearly that the Mishkan was here as part of the Mishkan was the forgiveness for the sin of the golden calf. That this is what Klal Yisrael were worried about. We sin. Will Hashem's presence come down to us or not? Mishkan HaEdos, will there be a testimony by Hashem bringing down His divine presence that we are indeed forgiven? Now, let's take this a little bit further. Source 16. Now we can appreciate why we need the Schus of Yitzchak Avinu bringing the Ashras HaShechina, the divine presence of the time of the Mishkan. So he brings down here from the Maharal that each one of the three forefathers had the capacity to be the foil against one of the three major Averos, right? And Yitzchak was Keneged Avodah Zarah. So Yitzchak Avinu represents being the counterforce of idolatry, right? Where he gave himself completely to God without question. So therefore, it's Yitzchak Avinu, in his schus, in his merit, Klal Yisrael could be able to have the Mishkan, and the Mishkan is coming to atone for a sin of idolatry, which is the sin of the Chet HaEgel. So it's Dafka Yitzchak Avinu, who represents complete opposite of Avodah Zarah. It was in his schus. We need the schus of Yitzchak Avinu, and hence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol waited until the month of Yitzchak Avinu, because that's going to be the capacity that Hashem can fully forgive us, because He was the one to counter, so to speak, that Avera. Now, okay, so I follow on some level. We have HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us build the Mishkan. Everything was great till we did the Chet HaEgel, we did idolatry. Then we have to daven, Moshe Rabbeinu davens, Klal Yisrael do tshuva, that Hashem can be able to say on Yom Kippur, Salachti Kidvarecha, I've forgiven you. Hashem then says, okay, continue with the building of the Mishkan, so to speak, with the directive of how to build it. And then said, you know what, but you need to wait until Rosh Chodesh Nisan to consecrate it, because this Mishkan is a testimony that I've forgiven you for the sin of the golden calf, and that means the quality of Yitzchak, who's the counterforce of idolatry. Where does the whole story of Hanukkah come in? So this is where it's fascinating. The Medrash in Yalkut Shimoni explains the following. The Medrash in Breishi Rabba says the following. It says that when Hashem created the world, there was v'choshech al p'nei tahom, there was darkness, right? There was tohu v'avohu. There was, and each part of the pasuk is learning a different one of the exiles. V'choshech al p'nei tahom, and there was darkness on the depth. Zugulos yavon harasha. This is reference to the gulos, the exile of yavon. Sheikh shicha einem shal yisrael b'gzeroteha. That they darkened, choshech, darkness, they darkened our eyes with their decrees. What was one of their decrees? Shaita omeret lahem kitvu lechem al keren ashor. They had a right on the horn of an ox. She'ein lechem chelek belokei Yisrael, you don't have a portion in the God of Israel. It's a question what that horn of the ox is on a technical level. Was it the baby's Bible? That the baby should see this at a young age? You know how people put the pictures of tzaddikim by a baby's carriage or a crib? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So the baby is seeing this, right? Because what babies see at a very young age, they take it. That's why a parent should do, while a baby is awake, as many mitzvahs in front of the baby as possible. If the baby's awake, take the baby with you to watch Lukas Neiros Kiddush, whatever it is. Say brachos out loud in front of the baby, because the baby takes in everything. Okay, we're not talking about babies here, so let's get back on track. All right, birthdays, babies, we're in a different zone here today. And another way of understanding it was what they plowed with, so that when they were working, this was in front of them at all times. On a deeper level, Dimashabo, Yavon Lafridat Yisrael, Liyot Chelik Hashem Himikoa, Cheita Egel, Shibazeki Lubidatam, Shem Lahem Chelik Bakarish Baruch. There's a much deeper thing going on here. Why Dafka, the Karen Hashor? The Karen Hashor, the horn of the ox, is a reminder, a throwback to another ox or another calf, so to speak, another animal, and that is Cheta Egel. And that's the Maharal. In the Ner Mitzvah, Lekach Amru Yisrael, Kitvu Al Keren Ashur Shem Lechelup Gilke Yisrael, Ki Mitzad HaEgel, because Kla Yisrael worship the golden calf, Shavdu at Yisrael to Egel Miyad Shana Talma Torah, right after they got the Torah, that shows that Hashem detached himself from them. They could have been the chosen people. They were the chosen people for 40 days. They lost it. Goodbye. So by having them right on the horn of the ox, you have no portion in the God of Israel. It's making a theological statement. You are no longer the chosen people. From when? From the time of the sin of the golden calf. And that was the Malchus Yavan Ikarma Taratai Lechalel Tamel Tamikdash Tratam Yisbeach. What their whole raison d'etre in life was to be able to break this Hashras Hashchina, the divine presence, contaminating the oil, contaminating the base of Mikdash, Uparzu Chomos Migdala, breaking in, making those breaks through the fence. What they were trying to do was to take away this feeling of Hashras Hashchina, that we are not the chosen people, we don't have this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, what was the job of the Chashmonaim? It was to bring us back to that pristine state of closeness to Hashem. Ufizem, uvar heitev, v'yinosh chodesh kitzlev, v'chanukah beit Chashmonaim, the asterisk, bottom of 17. Shere Yavam ba'alach zirat Yisrael matzav shalcheta ego. Yavam was trying to bring us back. V'kenegdam ba'kocho shal beit Chashmonaim, shematzru nafsham lach ziravodas beit hamikdash v'lchan chokavat gila. When they brought it back, they're bringing back the Avoda back to where it was. And in the schus, in the merit of their Mesiras Nefesh, they are reconnecting Hashem with the Jewish people. And basically, once again, so to speak, we'll talk about this in a few minutes, being able to rectify the sin of the golden calf. What does this mean? So here, Moda Labina of Rav Rotberg explains the following. He says that again, this was, in Source 18, this was the agenda of the Yavanim. The agenda of the Yavanim was to try to make a break between Klal Yisrael and Hashem, and it was by rearing the head, so to speak, of the Egel. And we know, he says in Source number 19, the forgiveness for the sin of the golden calf was on Yom Kippur. B'piskat harba'im yom, at the height of the 40 days of davening, Hashem says, Salachni kidvarecha. And that forgiveness became part of the Jewish people. Me'asu metami. This was embedded. We were forgiven. And this forgiveness stayed throughout the entire time of the Mishkan and the entire time of the first base of Mikdash. As long as the Jewish people held this commitment to Hashem, that they longed for and they yearned for and they acted in a way of connection to Hashem, so that forgiveness of the Cheta Ego was in place and it was immutable. However, at this point, now, Aval Begolus Yavon Adarabba Guf HaMikdash Lo Nifka. You're right, there's a physical base of Mikdash here. Aval Pnimiuto Shel HaMikdash Kedushato V'Taharato Shel HaMikdash Nifka V'Nifka Ma'idei Yavanim V'Mikyavnim. This was the first time, really, since the time of the Cheta Egel, that the quality of what happened at the time of Cheta Egel, even in the whole time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, we were still connected to Hashem. Even in the time of Achashverosh. This was the first time that an entire group of Jews became Misyafnim. They became Hellenists. This was the first time, right? You had pockets here and there. Okay, we didn't follow the ways of Hashem the way He wanted us to. Okay, nobody's perfect. But we never had an entire movement, like, you know, like the Reform movement, where they wanted to, you know, create a different Judaism. At that moment that you have the Yevanim and the Misyavnim and the Hellenists, now they've created, on some level, the schism between Hashem and the Jews, and that then reactivates the sin of the golden calf. Kashir timu so ba'u pritzim v'chiluhu va'az az nistaleka makom asher bo naseh chalur atzlicha amai segav kaparto. Now, all of that time that Hashem's forgiveness reigned among us, it suddenly left. The cheda egel comes up once again. And that is the challenge in the Hanukkah story. As Rabbi Lef in his Sefer on the Moadim points out, during the period preceding Hanukkah, Jews were weak in their avoda. Torah observance became mere external compliance to the commands. The implication of the lifestyle to be created by those commands, the creation of a nation of holy Kohanim, would become the actual Mikdash of God's presence, was ignored. So here, aside from the Hellenists, even those who were keeping Torah mitzvahs, it was empty. Shabbat was observed, but did not impart a lifestyle that strove for the spiritual world represented by Shabbos. Rather, those who kept Shabbos spent their 6 workdays expanding their materialistic goals, and that's what formed their life's ambition, influenced all their decisions and conduct, not the Torah, not Shabbos. Sounds a little bit familiar. That's my comment. They observed the letter of the law, but failed to be imbued with the holiness and purity that those laws imply. The Yiddishkeit was dark and external. The preciousness of the chosen nation was diminished. The very shallow appreciation of a true Torah lifestyle induced some to be totally influenced by the Greek way of life. If one views the Torah only externally, it can't match the beauty and grandeur of the externals of Greece. Therefore, they accepted it as an alternative to the drab Jewish existence and left them feeling disillusioned and unimpressed due to its lack of real content. For this reason, this period is referred to as Galus Yavon, the Greek exile, even though we were in Eretz Yisrael, we had a Beit Hamikdash, we had a temple, still we were in exile. We may have been connected to the externals of the land and the temple, but we were millions of miles away from their inner spiritual essence. Since the Jews had this weakness, they were vulnerable to the decrees of Yavon. That, my friends, is what the story of Hanukkah is about. The story of Hanukkah is about being able to almost go back to that place of the Chet HaEgel, that place of finding something to replace Kivyachol, this closest to Ribbono Shel Olam. So when one feels the connection lost, so one is going to look for other ways to be connected. In the times of the Mishkan, in the times of the Midbar, in the desert, it was the Chet HaEgel, let this be the point of connection. In the time of the Yevanim, it was the sports, it was the theaters, it was the culture. And in our time, we'll let you fill in the blank. Just to take this idea one step deeper, it's a little bit deep, the Nefesh Eliyahu. Let's try to understand this a little bit deeper, and then we'll bring it to our lives, and we'll look at the third level. The Nefesh Eliyahu speaks about, D'inei Yuduin Divrei HaTanchuma Shebesof Mem Yom HaChronim, after the 40 days, we have this slicha, this forgiveness. And he says, what was this, what was the Chet HaEgel about? What was this forgiveness about? So he quotes in 23, B'kitvei Hagra, on the Pasuk, En kol ono gvurav, en kol ono chalusha, kol ono anochi shamea. Right, Yeshua says, hey, I hear some noise there. Maybe it's a noise of war. No, Moshe Rabbeinu said, it doesn't sound like the noise of the sound of someone winning or losing. Sha'in Khan, on a deeper level, says the Grab, as Rabbi was saying, they're not doing sins. Al lota semisuyam b'makom asay vaflo v'yarnud elo semisuyam b'shev el tasa. It's not that they're doing one specific type of aveira. Eliyesh kan prikas ol Torah vo malchut shamayim. It's much deeper than that. The sound you're hearing is taking off the yoke of Torah and the yoke of God's kingship. And the Gra explains that Cheta Ego was really twofold. One is they killed Khur, who tried to stop them, and that was taking off any yoke of anyone telling them what to do. And it was building this in its place. Ukishechazru b'tshuva v'kiblu sheinid al tzvam al Torah v'amukut shamayim v'zachu l'kapara v'yom ha-kippurim, and the arrow in 23, nifzavu tekef al ha-mishkan shemautoi bet yisodos hanal. When they did tshuva, Hashem gave him a mishkan, and the mishkan had these two components which were lost in Chet Ego. The Kabbalah Torah and the Kabbalah Omachut Shemayim. The Kabbalah Satorah, we know that the Luchos were found in the Aron, in the Ark, in the Beis HaMikdash. This was the place where Torah, where Hashem spoke to Moshe over the Kruvim, that the Word of God was disseminated. And it was a place of Kabbalah Omachut Shemayim. It was a place of the yoke of heaven where we connected with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Those two ideas of Kabbalat Torah and Kabbalat Omuch Shamayim is what the Mishkan came to be the response of the Chet HaEgel, which lost those two things. The Chashmonaim come back, and that's exactly the two things that they bring back. They bring back the love of Torah as well as the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Hashem says, I'm going to have the Chanukah and Mishkan in the being compensated for in the times of Chashmonaim. Why? Because the times of the Chashmonaim is the very same story as the times of the Mishkan. The story is a Chet HaEgel, a story of taking away the yoke of heaven, the yoke of God's kingship, just throwing it off, going through the motions, but not really having that yoke and that connection, and then having individuals come back to show, no, this is what we want. Whether it was Moshe Rabbeinu and Jewish people who did tshuva and brought it back at the time of the Mishkan, and in our case, it was the Chashmonaim representing the people by showing their love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by going out to war, by trying to find that one cruse of oil that was tahor. They were showing their complete dedication to the Ribono Shel Olam, and in so doing, they become the rectification of the sin of the Chet HaEgel, and therefore they have the ability, just like in the times of the Midbar, the desert, they built the Mishkan. In the times of the Chashmonaim, they had the schus of rededicating the Mishkan as well. And it's fascinating. Let's just take a look at the Dan in 25. The Nimsa Shabbatzirus Nefesh Shachashmonaim Alinyan Avoda. He Matbeya Baal Bet Panim. It had really two parts to it. It was the part of Mesirus Nefesh for Kiddush Hashem, of sanctifying God's name, right? Mila Hashem Elai, which is a Kabbalat Old Torah, and the Mesirus Nefesh of the Avoda of Kabbalat Omuchut Shamayim, the making sure that the Beis HaMikdash was as pure as possible, and to sanctify it with pure oil. I was just to make mention in parentheses here in 24 and 25, he has such a beautiful piece that's worth looking at. We're not going to look at it, but I'm just going to make mention of it. That he says, what is Mesirus Nefesh for Torah? Mesirus Nefesh all about? It's about being able to take the inner love that Hashem imbued each and every one of us at the time of receiving of the Torah. Right, Anochi Hashem Lokecha, the Medrash says that Hashem says, Ana, I am writing myself into the Torah and in a real sense into each and every one of us. Like the Torah is embedded into our core, into who and what we are. And our job is to just be able to fan the flames, right? And Avarabbas, what he goes through, that's the tefillah that we want to have, the Kereftanu L'Shimcha HaGadol Tzela Be'emet. We want to come close to L'Shimcha HaGadol, to your great name. And we talk about L'Shimcha HaGadol at the end of Al-Nisim as well. Yeah, think about this. That the Shimcha HaGadol is the names of Hashem found in the Torah. Every single word, right? We divide it up by these words, but really, as Ramban points out, you could divide up the Torah in so many other ways, and everything is really a different name of Hashem. Whatever that may mean, it means closeness to Hashem. It means rededicating ourselves. So now, my friends, we understand now in 26a and b why it's Dafka, the miracle happened in the menorah, because the menorah is a symbol of, the Gemara tells us, the bottom 26a, Harotze Lachim Yedrim, one who wants to become smart should go to the south, because the menorah was situated in the south of the Heichal. And the menorah, obviously, is the Avoda. The menorah represents the wisdom of Torah, and it represents the service of God. So by the miracle happening in the menorah, it's talking about that the Chashmonaim were able to bring back Kabbalat Olmachut Shemayim and Kabbalat Torah, the yoke of Torah, the yoke of God's kingship, and that is a rectification, as the Gra said, for that was the core sin of the Cheta Ego. The upshot for us, and this is where I want to focus just for a number of moments, is if we understand there's a parallel going on, sin of the golden calf, there was tshuva and tefillah, and then the command to, you know, continue with the building of the Mishkan, and Hashem puts His presence there to say, I've forgiven you. We have writing, the Yevani and the Greeks said, right on the horn of the ox, that you have no connection with the God of Israel. That sin rears its head again, or rears its horn again, so to speak. It's tooting its own horn in this case. And we go back to the sin of the Cheta Ego, the Hellenist, an entire movement away from connection to God. You know, let's find our meaning elsewhere, not in the relationship with Hashem, albeit that the Mishkan, the Beit HaMikdash, was around. This was the first time that the forgiveness of the Cheta Ego now had ceased, and the Jewish people had to regain it. The sin of the Cheta Egel is a sin of lack of Kabbalah Olah Torah, and all Malchut Shamayim, the Chashmonaim, showed both of these. Therefore, as a reward, they got the miracle of the menorah, the rededication of the Beit HaMikdash, and they were able to celebrate what was missing in Kaf Hei Kislev originally now. At the same time, what we need to understand, and this was the first time that I had a glimpse into something, that two things I'll share right now that I always question. We know that Hanukkah is not just a time of celebration, which we love, and halo lahodos, to give thanks, as we've spoken about. That's the core of Hanukkah all day. Just go around thanking Hashem for all the blessings that we have. That's one of the ways to celebrate Hanukkah, not only by after lighting the candles. But Hanukkah is also a time of tshuva. Hanukkah is also a time of repenting. Let's take a look inside, and then we'll pull all the pieces together. Sarich ladat shechanukah zeh shata kosher shniftach b'shmona yom yishman lekim neiros chan or agonos. We light the concealed light, the light of creation, and it's time from heaven that gives a person lachzir tara l'tov, to turn from bad to good. Even though it's not Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, it has that flavor to it in terms of being able to come back. That was Wiggling 27. Hanukkah is man shochinuch ba'nefesh. It's a rededication of the soul. It's the beginning of one can start again. You take the Or HaGanus, that concealed light, and you put it l'toch nafsho, inside a person, she'ir bo haratzon l'atchil mechadash, that a person has a desire to begin again, l'shtokek l'alot l'shtaper tamid, to become better. The Sichus Bavarat Hashem, Rav Maitlis, talks about this at length, where he says that no matter what sin a person does, Hanukkah is a time that you can get forgiveness. And the mashal that he gives is that it's very nice, you know, if the king is in the field in Elul, that you come to the king and ask him for forgiveness. But what happens if you're in prison? then you can't go into the field to ask for forgiveness because you're stuck. Chanukah, Hashem comes to the prisons. We're all in prison within ourselves and our Yetzirah. That wherever we are in life, that we feel it's too difficult to reach out to Hashem, Chanukah is a time of a Chanukah in the bracket in 28. Anu zochim lor begil termizet. Shekarish baruch hu kivyachu b'chvodo ba'atzmo yoredi leinu. U'ba'al lishkom b'toch mo'no. That Hashem kivyachu comes down to us under a sarat tvachim. It's unheard of. Because Chanukah is a time that Hashem so desires closeness with us. And every single person can recognize that wherever they are in life, this is the time to return, that they say that Zos Chanukah, Teshev Enosh Adaka, a person can return Adaka until they're, you know, they can hit rock bottom. Daka is the Gematria Cafe 25. That the dreidel, Gimel Shin Nun Hei Gemar Shana, this is the end of the year. This is the time to do tshuva. Zos Chanukah is parallel to Hoshana Rabbah. That this is the Gemar Chastima Hadim. This is the time that you can do tshuva. And there's so many hints of this. One of them is, just to share one, that when the Gemara tells us in Eruvin that the Yonah, the dove, came back in front of Hashem, in front of Noah, and says, Mutavu Mizrosai Merurim Kazayas Umasurim Yadecha. Right? As if turns to Ribbono Shalom and says, I would rather my food be bitter like the branch of the olive, which is a bitter tree. I'd rather have my food coming from you, Hashem, than sweet as honey coming from people. So they learn out on a very beautiful level that the sweet as honey is Rosh Hashanah. And those, the time of din is in our hands, right? The bitter as olives is the olive of the olive oil, and it's in Hashem's hands, which means that there is Chanukah from the word chayim. There is a certain grace period that's found in Chanukah where Hashem just has rachamim on us. He just has mercy on us. And it's time to do tshuva just out of love, right? Rosh Hashanah, we're woken up by the shofar. It's pretty jarring. Chanukah, we turn on the light. That's the way to wake us up. It's gentle. It's a gentle way. And he says, in particular, obviously after lighting candles to daven to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in particular in the bracha of Hashiva Shofteinu Kavar Yishona, return our judges like originally, and we end there, V'tzakenu B'tzedek U'B'mishpat. Hashem judges us with tzedek and with mishpat. Hashem is judging us with kindness. Melech Ohev Tzedek U'Mishpat. It's a time to daven that Hashem should judge us favorably. In particular, in this year, Shabbos Chanukah, Shabbos Ubot Teshuv, Shabbos is about tshuva. Rosh Chodesh is a time of tshuva. Rosh Chodeshim L'Chaparos, Man Kapara L'Chol Toldotam, right? David Melech is a paradigm of a person who did tshuva. So this year we have Chanukah, which is tshuva. Shabbos is tshuva, Rosh Chodesh, which is tshuva. This is like, whoa. And again, tshuva doesn't only mean, listen closely, what I've done wrong. That's for sure. Tshuva is really the tshuva of the Chedegel, the tshuva of the Hellenists. It's tshuva coming back to that feeling of closeness to Hashem. 32, to take the Or HaNer and look inside of ourselves. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam Chofetz Kol Chadrei Batan. How can I become closer to Ribbono Shalom? How can I connect more? So Chanukah is a time of tshuva. So Sema says we light ala petach outside on the doorway. It's a petach tshuva to remind us of the doorway of repentance. Over and over again, a theme of Chanukah is tshuva. As well as 33, that the 8 days of Chanukah are connected, are parallel. This is a Talmud Rebbe Sefer, Mosif HaHolech, to the 13 Midos of Rachamim, Hashem Hashem Karachum V'Chanun, and every day a different one of these, and it goes through in the bottom of 33, how you divide it up, is found on the 8th day, which is Zos Chanukah, which is the intensity of the day, whoa, the end of Tshuva, whatever was left, I can't do the math, 13 minus 8, you got it, whatever is left, that is what is found on Chanukah. Some people don't say the bracha ladikner shel Chanukah, they just say ladikner Chanukah, lot of interesting insight on that, not for today. Then the bracha has 13 words, the bracha of Alam Nisim have 13 words, paralleling the 13 Midos HaRachamim. And the Sfarim go through it, the Hasidic Sfarim, many of them go through each night. Hashem, what does that mean? Rachum, right? The fifth night, which is the darkest night because it never falls on Friday night, is Chanun. It has the most amount of mercy. Good. What is the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim doing on Hanukkah? What is Tshuva doing on Hanukkah? I think now, my friends, we understand it very clearly. Because Hanukkah is a time to atone for the Chet HaEgel, to be able to rebuild the Mishkan in our lives. So just like the Cheshbonaim, just like the Cheshbonaim did Tshuva, and they were able to bring the Chanukah Mishkan in that time, and that was the counter to the story of the Chet HaEgel. However, we know that the Chet HaEgel, every year we have a Yom Kippur. Every year we have Salachti Kidvarecha. Every year we have like an echo, even if Hashem has forgiven us, there's some echo of this sin every year. And my friends, there's some echo of this, of the Hanukkah, as we mentioned. It's like a little bit eerie how parallel it is every year in our own lives. And just like we go through the 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur of Tshuva and Tefillah, Hanukkah becomes a mini time of tshuva, of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, in order to gain forgiveness for the second Chet HaEgel, so to speak, to be able to have that rededication of the Mishkan in the fullest way, the rededication of the Mikdash in the fullest way. Why is it necessary to do tshuva and Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim to get tshuva every year? I get it for the first Chet HaEgel. Hashem says every time I'm going to remember that. But Hanukkah was, the Maccabim were, the Cheshbonim were, the Midyavnim were. Why every year? That leads us, my friends, to the third and final level. So the first level, the Beis HaMikdash, Yitzchak Avinu, Hitbatlut, Mesiras Nefesh, giving over to Hashem. The second level, it's the reparations for the Chet HaEgel, Yitzchak Avinu, is the counter of Avodah Zarah. What's the third level? Here goes, my friends, 5 minutes. Let's learn it. We know there's a very famous Rashi, the juxtaposition of the Parshios of the Nesiim, the princes bringing the Korbanos, and Aaron lighting the candles. That Aaron was destroyed, that neither he nor any member of his Shevet took place in dedication of the Mishkan. Hashem consoled Aaron by telling him that his service was greater than offered by the Nesiim, for he would prepare and light the menorah in the Mishkan. The Ramban also cites this Chazal, but explains it in a different light. It's the light of menorah that takes place every year on Hanukkah, in contrast to the korbanos, which those offered by the Nesiim, which can only be brought when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. The light of the Hanukkah menorah is not bound to a specific era. This was a consolation of Aaron, since it was his offspring, the Cheshbonaim, who are willing to sacrifice their life for their ideals, and it's in their merit we have the mitzvah of lighting the Hanukkah menorah. Let's take this idea one step further, my friend. Sichat Eliyahu, our final selection for today, 35. He brings the Ran, very famous for Meinu Nitzim. Now, when we light the menorah in our homes, this isn't just lighting some candles. You know, when I grew up, we had all those box candles, you know, the blue, the green, the 44 candles. I'm sure all of you know what I'm talking about. Today, if you want to do it with your family, people light oil. They can take water on the bottom, put food coloring, you mix the colors. I'm not teaching you how to do that. You've learned that. And then you put the oil, and then you have the colors with the candles that are oil, if you like that. Right. Now, that's why the Or HaGanuz, the concealed light, which was found in Ritual Light of Creation, which was then concealed in the menorah, that very light is found in our home, says the Ran. And that's why the Taneiros Halalu Kodesh, Eimenan Rishulish Tamish Bem, that's why they're holy, we're not allowed to use them, because they're Dumya LaMikdash, because they are a continuation of the Mikdash. Now, what's very fascinating is that in reality, 36, this is, aside from Birkos Kohanim, this is the only thing that we have that is really a continuation of the Beis HaMikdash. Because even though Tefillah is in place of base of the Korbanos, it's only Unushama Parim Satenu, it's only like, you know, in place of. But the actual service of lighting candles, that was in the Beis HaMikdash. That's in our home. And then he discusses at length, and I'm just going to do it outside because of time consideration, the difference between a Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishkan, wherever they went, that's where the Shechina was. It was a traveling Shechina. So they went to this place, and Hashem rested there. The Beis HaMikdash was a place where you had to go to get divine inspiration, right? Yonah HaNavi got Ruach HaKodesh on Simchas Beis HaShoeva, but he had to go up to the Beis HaMikdash, right? The Beis HaMikdash didn't come to him. The Mishkan went wherever you went. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to repay the Cheshbonaim in a way most similar to the Mishkan. He couldn't have done that by inaugurating the, at the time, the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because it's not really parallel to the Mishkan. Because the Beis HaMikdash is in one place at time. The Mishkan was about traveling Shechina. So Hashem had to wait for an opportunity where there would be, so to speak, traveling Kedusha in order to be able to be the best compensation for the loss of Kaf Hei Kislev of the Mishkan. Mishkan, you were wherever you were, that's where Shechina was. Beis HaMikdash is one place. So Hashem waited till the second Beis HaMikdash, where he was able to give them the consecration of the Cheshmonaim, of rededicating the Beis HaMikdash, with the understanding that this rededication wasn't just happening in one time and place. This was going to continue year after year, in lighting it in our homes, and our lighting of the candles is a direct continuation of the lighting of the candles of the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash. Hence, I understand why I need to do tshuva every year. It's like the story of Hanukkah is re-happening year after year. We have that very type of consecration, of closeness to Hashem, which is being replayed year after year in our homes, where we have the ability to connect to that service of the Beis HaMikdash. We have the ability to connect to the lighting of the candles. We have the ability to bring Hashem's Shechina into our home. Eidus, it's a testimony that Shechina shara b'Yisrael, not in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a testimony the Shechina, divine presence, is found in our homes. And as Rabbi Bernstein notes in his fantastic Sefer on Hanukkah, he says, the mitzvah of Hanukkah light emphasizes the Jewish home also reflects that sanctity. Hanukkah is a celebration of the fact divine presence is with us wherever we are, not only in our shuls, but also in our homes. The house is a Kedusha embassy. That's the message of lighting Hanukkah lights in our home. Can there be a more elevating message? It's both moving and inspiring to reflect on the fact that the full response to the Greek breaching the sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash was not merely to restore and rededicate the Beis HaMikdash itself, but to expand its borders by charging Jewish homes throughout the world to represent its purpose and message. And hence, my friends, the upshot for us, our final idea, says Sichat Eliyahu Rav Rot in 41. If we understand what the Ran and the Ramban are saying, that our homes turn into a mini Beis HaMikdash, and we who like this are mini Kohanim, then it's not just to go through the motions. Lo yitachen shadam ye'id edu l'chol olam u'latzmo lo. I am lighting the candles as an indication that Hashem's presence is found in this home. Really, what are you doing about it? How are you changed as a result? If you're making a statement that Hashem is right down here, as Sarich double underline, Linaheg Vofin Shenakir Ben Hanukotosh Shechina Shor Yisrael, then your actions have to reflect this. And it's not just in lighting the candles, it's the entire Hanukkah, in the way you daven, the way you learn, the way you interact with people, in your derech eretz, in your kedusha, in your home. And that's the key of Hanukkah. The key of Hanukkah is for us to every year get kapara, get forgiveness for the second Chet HaEgel, for the whole story of the Yevanim, of the Misyavnim, of this feeling distant from Hashem. And we have to be a walking testimony of this connection to Hashem. Hanukkah is about chinuch. It's about dedicating our homes, dedicating ourselves to closeness to Hashem. And that's where the challenge lies, my friends. Hanukkah, we so often think, you know, sufganiyot and latkes and parties, and it's great. At the same time, the real Hanukkah is about dedication. It's about those Hanukkah parties having something meaningful in them, having hallowed Hodayah to the Ribbono Shel Olam, thanking Hashem for miracles, thanking Hashem for all that he gives us, and the greatest thank you that we have a relationship with him, that we're close to him, that our homes are a mini Beis Hamikdash. That's the challenge of Hanukkah, that we have the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, that we bring Hashem into our homes in the most intense ways imaginable, and that we, by investing ourselves, by being Moser Nefesh on the first level, pushing ourselves above and beyond, taking on those projects, starting the learning things, whatever it may be, by taking these things on in a very real way, by making sure that we understand that this is a time of tshuva. It's a time that I'm working on not doing my mitzvahs in a lackadaisical way, but with passion and enthusiasm, that it's a time that I can appreciate. And I step back and I look at myself and my home as places that the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, is resting, and ask myself, what am I doing to make sure that that Shekhinah, that Divine Presence, feels comfortable in my home? 8 days, not just when I light the candles, it's 8 days of tshuva, of closeness to Hashem, of Hanukkah, of rededicating ourselves to Hashem, that really the rededication revealed is a rededication within each and every one of us to be able to be that candle for God.